and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they warm. They shoot, they kill, they knock so cold rain. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, blind to your face, fight and die. This God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They mass up from rape, they burn the kids. No more leaves, gun, trees, lie to your face, fight and die. Cause God forgives. Yeah.
Anyways, I hope I'm on air now, and I apologize. This computer's got to get fixed somehow. I mean, and I apologize for. think my... I thought I was telling you guys, I thought I was on air, is that I was over at Michael Schmidt's place, which is a little over an hour from here, and he's a raw milk farmer, and I called him after the show on Sunday. I hadn't talked to him for a while, and he asked if me and a friend of mine could come over and visit him. And so we did today, went over this afternoon, and had a just lives. He lives I'll be living. It's truly amazing. He's got a beautiful home, and he has another, how the original farmhouse, which they're rebuilding again. Well, it's in good shape, but they put a new steel roof and stuff on it because he has people that works on the farm, and you know. So we sat down, and he brought out a home smoked ham from the smokehouse. And the most glorious, huge, round loaf of bread. Paul and his chemicals, the flour that bread is made from is totally organic. The meat is organic. The butter is organic. You know, there's people coming and going from the farm all the time. It's just a glorious place. Peace. Here. Court cases pending. And has been beat up so bad. And, you know, we had some good laughs this afternoon, and we had some really good discussions about, and or as I explained to them, I really love, do you have another pair of headphones to try? Is this, damn it. Morse code now. How is that? Is that any better? Maybe I'll just bail out of here tonight. Because if you can't hear me and I can't get this working right, none of us are going to win on this. Anyways, I hope that everyone had a good holiday. We worked through the whole holiday. Bad cord, who knows? Open, okay, let me try that. Open-handed slap to the side of the machine, says Otto. Well, all right. That's a double open-handed slap. Oh. Ron is back. Well, isn't that a... I took Otto's advice and gave my machine two double open-handed slaps, and apparently we're back. That's amazing. Thank you, Otto. That's marvelous. So for all those people having computer problems, listen to Otto. Take your hand, open it up, and smack the snot out of your computer. And it will, mine seemingly woke up. So thank you, Otto. Much appreciated. That's my Christmas present from Otto. But anyways, back to Michael. Paul says, like, you don't even have a lock for your front door. And he said, well, actually, we installed a small one inside because we didn't want to mess up the essence of the door, which is just the old slot handle, or it's just got a stick sticking out either side of the big wooden door, and it has a slider, so it goes into the frame. And he said, you know, we never, ever had a lock on the door. And the only reason we put a lock on the door is to keep the police out. And it's true. They've raided them so many times that it's ridiculous. And I'm enjoying this for some reason. Yes, Otto, you do deserve a technical a check for your technical expertise on how to fix a computer quick. I agree with that. So Michael's got some more court cases ahead of him. He has a lady going to court in January for him to try to kill this on lack of disclosure. Now, they took all kinds of audio the last time they raided the farm, and they said they wanted disclosure on all the emails between the police and the different government agencies, but maybe Hillary Clinton's got the same people running her place as they do here in Ontario, Canada, because the police said that, oh, geez, we can't disclose the emails because they seem to have all been accidentally erased in your case. And he asked them for all the film that they shot during the raid. And apparently, according to police, none of the cameras that they were using that day during the raid were apparently operational. So after about a year of trying to get disclosure, they finally handed over the film. And Michael says to me, he says, oh, guess what? Guess who showed up in the police films? I said, I don't know. He goes, you. I go, what? So, I guess I made it in the police film because I got there late, but I went down when the people at the farm forced the police and the Ministry of Agriculture to unload the cube van that they brought to farm and load it up with all Michael's food products, and were ready to go leave the farm, but somebody had blocked the gates to the farm and they couldn't get out. And the people said, that's our food. You unload the truck and we'll open the gates. Otherwise, you're stuck here. So the police, the brave, brave police, got stuck unloading Michael's cheese and milk and all that kind of stuff and put it back where they stole it from. So I'm on the police camera. That's brilliant. And the other thing they did with Michael and the disclosure they finally got their hands on is the police are trying to convince the court that Michael is in fact a very, very dangerous man, and he poses a large danger, a grave danger to the general public. And if you ever went out to Michael's farm and met Michael and met his family, you would say, who are these people that say that you're a threat to the general public? The general public loves Michael. They love going to his farm. They love their lifestyle. And so this is our so-called government. Now, we know our government, not my government or your government, but the corporate governing body of the country is about as illegitimate as you can get. I mean, when you think about it, Michael, homemade bread, homemade butter, home smoked ham grown, organic beef. It's everything there is organic teas. Everybody's healthy as a horse around there. Nobody takes any drugs. Nobody takes any pharmaceuticals. Nobody takes any vaccines. I guess that makes Michael a threat to the general population. Meanwhile, the government is forcing vaccines upon people, spraying the snot out of the sky. All this gluten intolerant is from the sprays going on the wheat. They're trying to drive people out of their homes. And they're not, though, somehow. They're looking out for our benefit. They actually serve us somehow. I'm not sure how. But it's like night and day. It's like night and day. You get out to the farm and you just say, why do we not all live like this? Why do we not all live like this? They have a private school out in the countryside there. The kids don't have to ride buses for who knows how long to get to school. They just walk up the road or bike up the road, or they take a buggy up the road, and they have their school there. Cursive writing is gone out of the public school system for the local kids. I asked the kids today how they like their school. They absolutely love it. And they smile when I ask them how they like school. When I ask other kids that I know about school, they just kind of cringe when you say, how do you like school? I hate it. And here you have this other group of kids that are not vaccinated, eat well, lots of fresh air, lots of exercise, and they love their school. So something is desperately, desperately wrong with this so-called society that we live in. And that's because the society we live in is the fictional, legal. And I told Michael and Paul, because they were using the word system a lot when we were talking today. And I said, when you use that word system, I wish you would use the way that Chris or Duck uses it. And he calls it a system, as in cyst, like that growth that you don't want on you, right? A cyst normally causes you pain, and that's exactly what we live in, a system. But when we get out to the farm, the system doesn't exist, and it's sweet. It's perfect. It's law. It's the way you're supposed to live. So now I'm away from the farm again. I brought home some smoked ham, and it is some tasty, let me tell you. And some organic non-pasteurized yogurt, which we're going to take a shot at after the show. And I can't wait to get back there. And this is how good a guy Michael is. My brother-in-law has been making bread for a while. Looks at me and he says, "You don't like butter or what?" And I go, "What do you mean? I've already buttered it." And I swear, Mike. the organic. Can I get some of this stuff? And he always has deliveries coming in. And so we're over there today, and he says, well, I said, you got any flour we can try out or something? And he says, well, no, we're out of it, but I got a load coming in tonight. And I said, well, that ain't going to work. But I said, anyways, give me some recipes or something for your breads, and I'll get my brother-in-law to try them out. And this is the kind of guy Michael is. He says, I got a better idea. I said, what's that? He said, why don't you and your brother-in-law come over here and spend a couple, 3 days over here? And when we're done with you, you will be, connoisseur bread makers. I go, seriously? Yeah, we got lots of extra rooms. So we're going to do that, I guess. We'll go over and spend a couple, 3 days over there, probably milk some cows and probably have to do some chores or whatever. But then we will learn how to make bread properly and cheese. And that's what we'll do when we get home. We'll make bread and cheese. It'll be glorious. And here's another interesting thing. They're pushing everybody into the cities. And we went to get a coffee that morning. There was a girl in front of us, and I didn't recognize her. And so we got talking to her and that. And she was actually born in Toronto. She's probably, I don't know how old she is, probably late 20s, maybe, mid 20s, whatever. And really nice, friendly person, and not those kind of persons, but we got talking to her, and she actually was born in Toronto, and she's up here now in this town, which is like 7,500 people. And I said, man, you seem awfully happy and smiley. She said, I am so happy. I go, why? Because I'm here. Okay, that makes you happy. Why? She said, I grew up in Toronto. I've always lived in Toronto. And I said, you don't like Toronto anymore? She says, I want nothing to do with the place anymore. Everybody's angry. Everybody's, you know, trying to crawl over top of each other. It's just turned into a cesspool. And yet Toronto is rated as one of the best cities in the world. And last time I was down there, I couldn't really find any white people. But I guess it's diversified now, or genocided, whichever way you want to look at it. So she was really glad. And I'm running into more people that are starting to figure out the city's not the best place to be. And that's good, because we need more people up in the countryside, preferably who are natives of this country. So that we can, a lot of the local small communities are dying off up here as the people are being pushed into the cities for employment reasons and whatnot. So it's nice to see some new blood come up in this neck of the woods. And hopefully we see a lot more. Anyways, I don't know. I call our Prime Minister Tinkerbell. He's a complete idiot. I put up a wanted poster last night, wanted for conspiracy to commit genocide. And I thought I was going to get kind of a hard time about it. And amazingly, I got a little bit of flack, but not much. And I'm really fine. I don't know what it's like stateside right now, but up here, and I don't like Facebook. I hate Facebook, but I find it as a good gauge on people's attitudes and thought processes at any given time. And I can honestly say that people are getting extraordinarily angry. They're finally coming to the realization that all of these political parties are working to destroy them. You know, we have a liberal, female liberal running British Columbia. We have a female NDP running the province of Alberta. We've got a female lesbian running the province of Ontario, and all across this country, people are starting to figure out that it doesn't really matter who or what party's in power. the same things are going on in each of the provinces. So the same thing is going on in the NDP province is the same thing that's going on in the Liberal province. The same thing that's going on in the Conservative province going on in the Liberal province. And the people are getting, I've never heard language like this before coming from Canadians. It's kind of refreshing. They're getting fed up, finally. A lot of them aren't very knowledgeable, but that'll come. They're just being pushed against the wall hard enough now that they're getting rather boisterous. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. So we'll just have to play this out a little bit longer. You know, Mr. Trump is a big fan of Israel, apparently, which just tells me that Mr. Trump is a player or completely stupid. But I don't think he's stupid. I do believe he's a player, though, or he wouldn't be the president. So now I said this before the election that he will be voted in order to quiet the right-wing people, those people who have had enough, who are angry. And in order to keep the anger at a level that's manageable, to put Clinton in would have been a firestorm of some sort. So put Trump in to quell the rise of the right and completely confuse the left. So now we have a complete reversal. We have the anger from the right wing is now been pretty well quieted. And the anger from the left is boiling over. And again, that keeps everybody in a complete and total state of chaos, which is kind of what they want. But Mr. Trump is definitely a player, because anybody that would be on the side of Israel has to be a player. I mean, it's too simple. Two world wars, hundreds of millions dead, create the League of Nations and the State of Israel. That's the plan, World War One. And League of Nations got picked up by some countries, but it was the foot in the door, and gave basically the beginning of the end of the Western nations. But the states didn't sign on to it. American people didn't want to lose any of their sovereignty, so get a hold of the public school system and beat the kids with propaganda, do another depression. I mean, it's the exact same template as World War One, exactly. And a lot of people don't realize that Israel was part of World War One because they wanted their own state. And they were offered a state in North Africa or something, and they didn't want it. So they turned it down, and the American people turned down the idea of joining the League of Nations. So we have to have another war, of which President Wilson said would happen if America did not sign on to the League of Nations. And sure enough, the wise man that he was, or excuse me, the puppet that was told to tell the people if they didn't sign on, there'd be another war and a depression. And it happened. Only this time, we graduated from the League of Nations to the United Nations and the State of Israel. And there has been no peace on the planet since. And so that gives us to our Third World War, which is the spiritual psychological war, which is raging on our shores and has to be stomped out. And people seem to have a hard time gripping this idea that you could be taken down by a spiritual psychological war. Don't they have to bomb the snot out of you to take you down? Apparently not. Look around. Look around. Jobs are gone. And your borders are wide open. And they're shipping your money out of the country as fast as they can, to supposedly help the downtrodden nations, the very nations that they bombed into the ground. I'm not just talking about the United States bombing them. These bombings have all been sanctioned by the Royal, by the World Bank and the IMF and the Vatican and all the rest of these dumbass players, the lawyers, all been put together by them. And so the people in general just have to come to the realization that they don't have a nation. You know, you're just a piece of paper, and you're enslaved to these corporations. And who the hell wants to be a corporate slave? Certainly not me. I mean, I don't want anything to do with working for a corporation. Not one that is destroying the people around me. I mean, you buy corporate water. How in the hell do we end up buying water from corporations? How is it that our water ended up in the hands of these corporations? I mean, that should freak people out right there. I mean, I said this long time ago, the first time I ever saw water being purchased was in Florida. And that was a long time ago. And I was in a grocery store and I was actually scratching my head. I think, oh, what are these people doing? They got jugs and they're putting money in that machine. And what the hell's coming out of it? Water. Why are these people buying water? Makes no sense. And then when I come home, it wasn't but a few years later, they start this health garbage stuff. The government's worrying about your health, so we can't have water fountains because it can be contaminated. Well, why would it be contaminated? It never was contaminated before. All the water jugs out on the golf course all of a sudden started disappearing. Well, it's for your safety. Well, we were safe before. Well, somebody could put something in the water jug. Well, why would somebody on a golf course go and poison a water jug? Makes no sense. But once they take all the water away, all your accessible water, all your free water, then where are you going to get water? Now, all of a sudden, you're buying water. You know, a little bottle of water you used to just pour in a glass and drink out of the sink or out of a water cooler or a fountain, all of a sudden you're paying $2 for a drink of water. Now, how is that even possible that we would allow things like that to happen? But we did. You know, and then all of a sudden water became chic. You know, I'm drinking Perrier, or I'm drinking this, or I'm drinking that. How do you like that water? It's freaking water, people. It's not a fine wine. And now the corporations have control of our water, just as was prescribed by the corporations and by the United Nations. And that needs to stop. You know, the day that we don't control our own water sources is not a good day. We don't control our food. We don't control our water. We don't control our air. And that leaves us pretty damn vulnerable. When we got out to the farm today, I never felt safer in my life. I didn't think they'd raid the farm today, so I'm worried about that. But it was just so freaking peaceful and pleasant. It was amazing. But that it was normal when I was a kid. I mean, when we go to Michael's farm now, it feels special. When I was a kid, it was just a farm. You know, my cousins ate homemade butter and homemade smoked hams, and the eggs come out of the chickens, and you know, it was great. And now I can't buy food. I got two family members now that I know of who are gluten intolerant. And you say, you know, what do you mean you're gluten intolerant? Well, you know, it's the stuff in wheat. Well, I thought bread was the staff of life. How is it that you are gluten intolerant? And you try to explain to them that it's the poison they're spraying on the wheat. Oh, no, no, it wouldn't be that. No, no, I'm gluten intolerant. You know, it's like lactose intolerant. You're not lactose intolerant. You're pasteurization intolerant. And you're not gluten intolerant. You're whatever it is, Roundup intolerant or whatever that particular poison they are spraying on your wheat. So we have a government who stole our water away from us and then poisoned our bread. Well, without bread and water, you ain't going to live long. I mean, those are the two particulars in life that you require. One's been poisoned, the other one's been stolen. Doesn't put us in a very good position. Yet people continually argue about politics. Trump's going to save us. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You know? I often wonder, you know, who financed Trump on all these big projects he did? You know, was he just a money laundering consortium, or what the hell's going on here? You know, we talk about the Clinton Foundation. Well, who the hell has been funding Trump all these years? I don't know. I don't know if it was a money laundering thing or not, but I do know why he's in power. And that is simply to quell the hate and the frustration, the aggravation of, the right, which is mainly the working people. And they don't like what they see coming out of the left. So, you know, they were getting uppity. Now, up here, we have a liberal. And he runs around in Muslim costumes and likes to attend gay pride parades. And he likes to call himself a feminist. And he likes to dress up in Muslim costumes. Doesn't sound too much like someone that's interested in improving the lives of those who are the offspring of those who originally opened these countries up. No, this is absolute genocide. And, you know, it's been about 5 years thereabouts since I spoke with that native woman and asked her if she understood the plan for Whitey. Because Whitey doesn't seem to understand what the plan is. And she said, like she just nodded that she understood the plan. I asked her, how come she understands the plan and Whitey doesn't? And she said, we lived through it. Now it's your turn. Well, what did they live through? They lived through genocide. Now they live on reservations. And their lives are completely and totally destroyed and controlled. And this is where we're headed. We are being genocided. Now, if Mr. Trump is going to kick all the Muslims out of the country and all the illegal immigrants, well, you get a big thank you from me. And I hope from the American people. Now, whether that comes to be or not, I don't know. Is that just rhetoric? I don't know. I mean, Israel has genocided the Palestinians and continues to do so. And Mr. Trump is a fan of Israel. And Israel has partaken in some of the most heinous crimes against the men and women of Palestine. So how could you be, hooked to Palestine? You want to kick it in the nuts. But Mr. Trump seems to like it. So on the one hand, Mr. Trump is a big fan of Israel. On the other hand, he wants to throw all the Muslims and the illegal Mexicans out of the country. But then Israel and the United Nations are one and the same. And they're the ones that created the mass migration of these Muslims and Turks and whatever. So, you know, they're stirring up the confusion pretty good here right now. You can't like Israel and hate Muslims. You can't like Israel and close your borders down. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on here right at the minute, but it'll play itself out as it always does. Maybe Mr. UN himself, Julian Assange, will reappear and start handing out some more emails. But Julian Assange is an absolute player of the United Nations. You always see the pictures of Julian Assange holding up a pile of paper with the UN logo on it. You know he's a player. You should know if you don't know. But he is. And we got to get back to concentrating on saving our nations, not arguing over right and left politics. I mean, democracy is there to divide the commoners. And that's exactly what it does. And it does a very good job of it. How can a republic be spreading democracy? I mean, just think about that for a second. We're spreading democracy around the world. But you're not a democracy. You're a republic. Big, big difference. But how many Americans today that go to school even understand that they're supposed to be a republic? I doubt very bloody many of them. Because they're being taught in schools, democracy is the answer. Not being a republic. And one has nothing to do with the other. Yet the children believe that they're in a democracy. Only thing they might be in is a demonocracy, but they're most certainly not in a democracy. And the more I think, of and by the people or whatever that saying was, the more it irritates me, because I always believed that America had a good a system as you could possibly create and had the checks and balances built in by the founders so that this kind of thing would never happen. But when I look up the definition of people, the definition of people is the same as the definition of human, which is the same definition as person, which is the same definition as subject, which is the same definition as citizen. These are all made up. They're all fictional entities, all of them. So who are these people that the founding fathers were talking about? Flesh and blood men and women, or legal entities? And I believe there was quite a few of these founding fathers that were lawyers. So it gives me pause to wonder if the whole thing wasn't a sham from the get-go. Because they really wrote the Constitution. They gave you the government. We gave you a republic, if you can hang on to it. What the hell was that supposed to mean? So you have this small group of people, and when I look into Benjamin Franklin, I have some serious questions about that boy. He was jumping back and forth. Was he going to Europe to get instructions? What the hell was going on here? But it seems to me that these so-called founding fathers were the ones that created the Constitution, not the men and women. And we gave you a republic, if you can hang on to it. That sounds eerily similar to what happened up here in Canada. And it says, we gave you good government. Or no, not good government, responsible government. We gave you a responsible government. Well, what do you mean? You gave it to us. You know, we've given you a republic if you can hang on to it. We gave you responsible government. What the hell's going on here? Who's given us what? Or who's conning us, I suppose, is a better question. And then when I looked up responsible, or when I looked up that saying, and it has a caveat there that responsible and responsible government does not have the definition that the dictionary definition of the word responsible. So responsible government doesn't mean responsible government. Well, that's good to know. And this is what governs our lives, these things that were given to us, these things that have created legislation that allows us to be poisoned, that allows us to be shoved into wars, that allows them to throw people in jail for indefinite amounts of time who have caused nobody any harm because they broke one of these rules of these responsible governments that were given to us. No, I think we've been conned right from the very get-go. I don't think these countries were ever made for us. These governments were never about us. These governments were the governing bodies of the corporations that were set up to feed on us and enslave us. And it seems perfectly logical when you look at it. You know, there's nothing democratic about democracy. And I don't see anything that would give anybody any cause to believe that that America's a republic. How can America be a republic when the president has veto power and executive order? How could that possibly be a republic? All that did was remove all the checks and balances that were supposedly put in place so this wouldn't happen. And here we have, the president can veto whatever he wants and make any executive order he wants. And the executive orders that have been coming through are executive orders forcing the UN globalist corporate agenda down our throats. Now, why would a government that cares about the future of its people do something like that and then not disclose it to the public? And see, there we go, messing up the words again. Because public is government. Everything public is owned by the government. You know, that's when you see a video and they say, you know, a cop says, I'm going to arrest you for being here. And they say, well, it's a public place. Well, yeah, but you have to go stand over there. But this is a public place. We have to go stand over there. If you don't do as you're told, I'm going to arrest you. But it's a public place. Yeah, it's a government-owned place. And the police are the corporate police. And their job is exactly what it states it is. They take their oath to the state. Now, they're not telling you you can't stand there because in the legal system doesn't recognize, the corporate system does not, cannot, never did, never will recognize a living, breathing man or woman because they can't. When they say move along, they're saying take that piece of paper, which is really what we're talking to, and move it along. When you get your speeding ticket, you never got a speeding ticket. You can't get a speeding ticket. It's an impossibility to get a ticket. But it goes back to that old thing out of England. Separate but indivisible. And only a lawyer could come up with a statement like that. Because as most lawyer nonsense is, it's either a lie or it's some other jargon which is used to gain advantage and deceive, or deceive in order to gain advantage. So, I mean, there, I don't know too many more nonsensical statements than that. You are separate, yet indivisible. You just think about that for a minute. You're separate, okay, but you're also indivisible, huh? Well, if I'm indivisible, I can't possibly be separate. And if I'm separate, I'm already divided. So how could I be indivisible? Well, it's a little lawyer lingo that we use to enslave you and entrap you and join you to the legal entity that we created that we didn't really tell you existed. But we, the lawyers, the legal system, has no authority whatsoever over a living man or woman, period. So we made some stuff up. And while we say you're a man, yes, but you're also this, and yeah, you're separate, but you're also indivisible. And that's just the chain. That's the ball and chain, if you will. That's the shackle of the slave. And we got to break them chains. And the beauty is we're going to break them. You know, when we're talking today over Michael's, you know, Michael says, you know, how are we supposed to operate in this system? You know, we can't operate apparently outside of their system, yet we can't operate inside of their system. Because their system is set up to beat us down. And I said, well, that's simple. We got to rock the boat till we flip it over. You know, we're not in heaven and we're not in hell. We are, according to the legal system, in the netherworld. We're in the netherworld because Persephone, who was the wife of Hades, who was the king of the netherworld, is where the word persona came from Persephone. And persona is the word what person came from. So we're living in this fictional netherworld, just like in Alice in Wonderland. And so it's going to take a serious amount of time to write this thing, or to flip it over, till we're out of the netherworld and into law and reality, where men and women rule, not fictional characters. A lot of people get frustrated because once they start to get wind of what the hell's actually going on, they get frustrated, they get angry, and they want this fixed tomorrow. Well, they had us in this position for centuries, and it's not going to take centuries to fix it, but it's going to take some serious amount of time, and it's going to take a lot of people with a lot of stamina to go out and teach other people who will teach other people. And I saw a thing go by on Facebook last night. It was a headstone, and it said, "First kill all the lawyers." Now, that's from Shakespeare, and is absolutely correct. The lawyers must die. And I don't mean physically die. I mean, they're really just in a fictional world. We have to remove their power from them. We have to nullify what they tell, what they have conned us into believing as law. You know, it's the opposite of law. It's, you know, it's the opposite of white. So it's going to take a little bit of time, and it's going to take the, it's going to take the kids. Now, those, be it Hitler or be it whoever, be it David Suzuki, be it Al Gore, be Any of these people know the importance of getting to the children. He who controls the children controls the future, because you control the mindset from the earliest age when you have an empty slate to work with. You can put whatever you want on that. And where we have failed is we have failed to get to the kids, because the kids are going to be here after we're not. And if we do not teach the kids what we know and encourage them to teach their friends what we know, then basically what we're doing is a complete and total waste of time. And I would hate to think that's the case. So we need to get to the kids. Now, I told Michael I'd really like to go and visit the school. And he thought that would be a great idea. I know I would enjoy the hell out of it, because then I could sit down and see what these kids in this private country school are learning and what they're being taught. Once you got the kids, you got the future. You know, there was a saying that I did. It was a saying from Hitler. Now, a lot of people like Hitler, but he's just another puppet. But anyways, it doesn't matter whether he did good work or he didn't do work. It really doesn't matter. But there was a statement there where Hitler said he cannot come on their side. And Hitler just apparently turned to the guy and says, you don't matter. You will pass. And once you've passed, all the children will know and recognize is the state. And that is damn dangerous stuff. And we're out of time, apparently. I do want to apologize.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people, that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for their mom. They shoot.